Good morning, faithful brethren. What a joy it is to be here. What is a joy it is to have faithful brethren. There are many, many things in life that bring us joy. Many, many things within the Word of God that bring us joy. And it is always good to comment on these things. Our text this morning is Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. And it consists of 12 verses. Now, we're not going to read it in its entirety because we're going to visit the passage multiple times over the course of this morning's sermon. Have you ever stopped to consider the fact that having faithful brethren is indeed a blessing from God? We think about blessings, oftentimes we think about the physical blessings or the ones that are made readily apparent to us. What about the ones that we don't realize that are blessings, that God has provided for us in His plan as they participate in serving God and doing His will and remain faithful, and they can help us as well? Those who are faithful to God are diligent in their service to God and in their care and the concern for others who are also God's children. And so faithful brethren bring a great deal of joy to their fellow brethren. As we look into our text and as we talk about it this morning, we see that each Christian should understand what qualities God desires in faithful brethren, and those such as Timothy and Epaphroditus from our text. Then we will appreciate our faithful brethren for the right reasons. And in the text, Paul discusses these two men who helped them in preaching the gospel. He rejoiced in these two because of their faithfulness. The song we just sang won't be sung anywhere else because it was penned to the tune of another or to another tune. But the things that we just sang, God give us men who really love Jesus. We know that the Lord has told us in His Word that He's coming again, but we need men who've renounced worldly pleasures, those who are married to Christ, those who are diligent in their service, those who are desirous of bringing joy to their fellow brethren. When we exhibit the qualities that these men showed, that are reported within the Word of God, they can be exhibited within us, but when we do, we can rejoice in the faithfulness of our brethren. So how are faithful brethren a joy to us? Faithful brethren are a joy to us when they really care. There have been those who have been dealing with health issues and sickness, and oftentimes the offer is given, you know, if we can do anything to help you, give us a call. Oh, how sad it is when somebody takes you up on that offer and, well, you know, I would, but I got to work. I would, but I got to this. I would, but I got to that. When they sincerely care, they will help you. But this is not just talking about the physical aspect of it. In verse 20, if you'll look there in Philippians chapter 2, we'll see that in verse 20, previously in verse 19, speaking of Timothy, he said, I will send Timotheus shortly to you that I may be... also may be of good comfort when I know your state. And then verse 20 tells us the attribute that Timothy had, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. The sincere care that came from love, not just love of the brethren, but love of God's commandments, love of God, love for the souls of these brethren. That's what makes a person care. That makes a person willing to not only make an offer to help physically if needed, but also able to carry it out, willing to carry it out, but more importantly, to do everything they can to help a person spiritually, to hurt their feelings a little bit by saying, brother, sister, you need to get back on the path. Let me help you. Maybe they didn't realize they were off the path. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, we can see that God cares for us. When you stop and think about God and His care for us, 9 times out of 10, people think about the world and the earth, and the temperature, the rain, the physical blessings. But stop and think about it. He created the means for the salvation of souls. God really cares for us. This is the care that He offers to all who will come to Him on His term. Jesus, First Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, we see that the Spirit had Peter write, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He wants us to care for our brethren as well. And when we sincerely care for them, and they sincerely care for us, there is joy. There is happiness. We should care for one another once we are brethren. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25, we have another passage that would help us. You know, we seek out brethren who have need so we can help. Now think spiritually here, not just physically. It's not wrong to help a person physically, but if we help them physically and fail to address their spiritual needs, we've really done them a disservice, that's the right word. We have not given them what they need. And if we are brethren, we need to work for the spiritual good of all of the faithful brethren, maybe one. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You love me, I love you. It should work that way as well. God loves us and he's cared for us. We should love God, and we should care enough about God and his word to care for our brethren. Those who are faithful brethren are a joy when they seek Jesus Christ. Verse 21, back to our text here. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Oftentimes when people think about someone seeking Christ, what are they thinking? Oh, we want to know what to do to be saved. The rich young ruler that came to the Lord. Good master, what may I do, must I do to be saved? And of course the Lord told him to keep the commandments, and he said, I've done these. What lack I yet? And he told him, and he went away sorrowful. We are to seek Christ. In contrast to Timothy's example, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Faithful brethren will seek the things that are Christ, not just in their initial obedience to the gospel, but their continual, ongoing love for God and seeking to know what God would have them do, seeking what Christ would have them do. After all, Christ was the one who died upon Calvary's cross. The fact of the matter is that one cannot be a faithful brother or sister unless or until they seek Christ. And we must keep God and Christ first in our lives. And if he is first in our lives, we will continually seek him through the New Testament Word of God. It's a very simple concept. It's easily to be grasped. In fact, we'll learn the Old Testament prophecies and the New Testament fulfillment of these. In fact, we will seek Christ, and in doing so, we will live Christ. That's what the Spirit had Paul write in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Christ was magnified and manifested or made known in the life of Paul and should be in the lives of all faithful brethren. They will be bringing joy to their fellow brethren. They will be bringing the gospel to those who are outside of the body of Christ. They will be bringing encouragement and admonition to those who are struggling, those who are falling by the wayside. And when this occurs, other brethren find great joy in this. Why? Because we're built up together. We're serving God together. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What are we living for? We are actually living that we might gain. To live being in Christ, bringing joy to our brethren, serving God faithfully, so that we might gain when we pass from this life. The gain, of course, is spiritual, exists in this life and in the existence of the faithful brethren after this life. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 tells us why we, as faithful brethren, seek Christ. As you turn there, stop and think about what the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to write to those churches there in Galatia. Of the many things that he said, this one helps them to see, as faithful brethren, to seek Christ continually, to go on day by day, hour by hour, if you will. Seeking Christ, striving to do his will. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And we think about that. We died to the love and practice of sin when we were baptized into Christ. If we did not die to the love and practice of sin when we were baptized into Christ, we weren't baptized properly. We weren't of the same, of the right frame of mind. We weren't baptized for the right reason. But he said, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There should be inestimable joy for brethren who not only initially seek Christ, but as faithful brethren continually seek to serve the Lord. This should give other brethren joy. Let's look at the flip side of that coin for our next point. In the 21st verse, the first part of it says, for all seek their own. Faithful brethren are a joy when they do not seek self. So many people live a life based upon me. Not me, themselves. You understand what I'm saying? It's all about me. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. And that's speaking of the general attitude of most of humanity. Look in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It's going to help us see the mindset or the attitude that all brethren should have. And if indeed they don't seek self, they're looking for the good for other people, to help them, to encourage them, to brighten their day. We must put self aside and seek the good for others. Stop and think about it. If you are helping someone with their soul, you're actually helping your own soul. You're actually bringing joy from them into your life as you are extending joy to them because you are a faithful brother or sister in Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And this is not talking about their material goods. We're not supposed to envy what our neighbors have. We're not supposed to desire, well, you know, those people must have been blessed more than me because they got more. That's not what it's all about, folks. The joy, when we look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others, we're looking for the spiritual good of that person. And in so doing, we're going to bring joy to them. We're also going to extend joy or bring joy back to ourselves. Faithful brethren realize that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, is not referencing material wealth. All of this is going to burn up when the end comes. So it's speaking of something else. It's speaking of spiritual well-being. The passage is very short. Let no man seek his own, but let every man, another's wealth. When does true joy come into play here? It's realized when faithful brethren help brethren who are struggling to find sound and solid footing in the Word of God. Then collectively, they can serve God together, both being happy, being faithful to God. But there's a couple of things that have to be in place before these things can happen, before one can sincerely care, before one will seek Christ every day and throughout the day. Before they can put themselves aside, they must be a person of excellent character. Look at our text, Philippians chapter 2. This time we'll look at verses 22, the first part. But ye know the proof of him. Again, speaking of Timothy, it was well known that Timothy was a protege of Paul. He traveled with Paul. He worshiped and served with Paul. There were times when Paul thought enough of him and enough of the work that was done in the place where they were that he left him there, and Paul went on to preach the gospel, perhaps where the gospel hadn't been preached. He was of excellent character. His excellent character brought joy to those in Philippi and other places where he served. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we see that the apostles also possessed such wonderful character as stewards of the Word of God. This is what they focused in. This is what they, how they functioned here on the earth. They received the Word from the Spirit by revelation, and it brought much joy to others when they were delivering that Word. And notice, what the Apostle Paul has directed to write there. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. They are taking care of the apostles or the ambassadors for Christ, those who had the authority handed down to them from Christ to deliver what the Spirit would give to them and to support it at that time before the word was completely delivered with miracles and signs. And they had to be faithful stewards. If we are good stewards of God's word, we too are to possess this excellent character. And if we possess this excellent character, we bring joy to others of our brethren. And we bring joy to those that will gladly receive the word because we take the word to them. But as 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11 directs, if we would be a man of God, if we would be faithful stewards of the word of God, then we must let go of and flee from the love of money. That's the context there. And seek to be of the excellent character that will bring joy to others. We know 1 Timothy 6:10 talks about the love of money being the root of all evil. But notice in verse 11 what he told him. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. If we would focus upon just these things, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, we're going to develop a character that's going to bring joy to others. As we preach, as we teach, as we fellowship one with another, as we grow together in the knowledge of the Lord. If we have that excellent character, we're going to put it to use. We're going to work for the Lord. Look at verse 5. Or 25, I'm sorry. Of our text, Philippians chapter 2. Here, he's left off speaking of Timothy and is presently speaking of Epaphroditus. He is my companion in labor and fellow soldier, striving together in the army of the Lord, laboring, working. And part of the joy that faithful brethren bring to others is that in the efforts that they put forth in the Lord's work. You know, a lot of times when there's a job to be done, brethren look at the physical side of it. It takes time. It takes effort. It's hot. And the excuses list continues on and on and on. But if we have that excellent character, if we are indeed seeking the Lord every day, all along the way, if we sincerely care for others, not seeking self, then we're going to strive to serve the Lord, working for Him, bringing joy to others. Could this title of companion in labor be applied to each of us as it was applied to Epaphroditus? Maybe we need to ask ourselves this question: do I bring joy to my fellow brethren? Maybe we ought to ask ourselves the question: how can I bring joy to my fellow brethren? Because then perhaps we will look at ourselves, examine ourselves, make the changes within, put ourselves to work for the Lord. It's sad that so many people are not self-starters. They have to have somebody say, you go do this, you go do this. One of the things I learned as I participated in a number of different things, one of which was the teaching of CPR. You don't just holler out, call 911. You see somebody standing there with a phone, in this day and age, probably taking a picture of what's going on. No, stop, you, call 911. You give them direction. You get yourself back to the labor that you're supposed to be doing. And we ought to do this in our work for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, it was used in this way of certain folks there. You know why? Because the Lord's work was of utmost importance to them. What is important to us? What labor is important to us? It's amazing to me, when people want to do something, they'll work hard at it. They will dedicate themselves to accomplishing whatever it is they want to accomplish. They'll deal with the time that it takes. They'll deal with the temperatures that cause them to perspire profusely. They'll continue to work even in the face of pain and discomfort, or knowing full well that the pain and discomfort will come after they finish working. But they'll do it. Why? It's because that's what they want to do. The Lord's work was of utmost importance to these men. For we, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, the apostles, are laborers together with God. Ye, talking to the church, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Their efforts to build folks up, encourage folks, warn folks, and their diligent efforts brought much joy. Can you see how happy people would be if everybody was working? If everybody was putting forth effort? If everybody was laboring for the Lord? Companions in labor? Fellow soldiers? Chapter 3, verse 23. Should help all brethren see that lackadaisical efforts, slothful and ineffective labor, and pitiful service to God out of obligation won't cut it. There are those that put forth just enough effort to do the minimal amount that God requires. They perhaps are like those in Luke when it says, when you've done that which is commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. What do we see there in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23? And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Who are you serving? Yes, we're serving one another. We want to bring joy to one another, but we're serving God. Our efforts on God's behalf should be heartily. It's not always easy to do. There's things that are going to be against us. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. This is a directive to Timothy, and by extension, a directive to all Christians. We need to be aware of the fact that it's work. It's labor. It causes us sometimes a bit of difficulty, or as this passage tells us, hardness. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The good soldier is to fight the good fight of faith regardless of the circumstances. This will bring joy to others. It will bring joy to other brethren. Why? Because you can be counted on. Because you're going to be there. Because you're going to strive. You're going to serve. You know, we're not to serve God out of obligation. We're to serve God out of love and adoration. When we do this, and we do it in this manner, it'll bring joy to many. And at the same time, it'll be pleasing to God. Those are the ones to whom the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful brethren are a joy when they desire fellowship. You know, fellowship is ill-defined today. A lot of times people think, well, we're going to have a fellowship. Bring a covered dish, right? Fellowship equals food. Food equals more people gathering. More people gathering equals camaraderie. I don't know how all that came. This particular passage about Epaphroditus in verse 26 of our text says, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. He desired that fellowship one with another, or with his brethren from Philippi. He was serving with Paul. He longed after them all. You know, if we're faithful brethren, we should desire to be among other faithful brethren. But what do? When we separate, we go and we attach ourselves to family or friends, or perhaps, I don't know, whatever the category might be. But a lot of times it is not other faithful brethren. We should desire fellowship one with another. That's where we often find strength, encouragement, and as we're talking about this morning, joy. How many people are as happy as they want to be today? I think that's a valid question. Hey, Lynn and I are people watchers. We'll go someplace, it doesn't matter where it is. Lowe's. I'll just pick that one. Everybody goes to Lowe's. You walk around and you look at those people, and some of them are absolutely miserable. Now, I know if they're inside the store, they're anticipating going to the checkout, and that'll make you miserable. But it shouldn't make you so miserable that you can't have a smile on your face, that you can't be happy. And the fact of the matter is that those who are Christians should be happy. They should be happy, and they should draw happiness from fellowship with others. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This was the early church. They communed together in the word continually. One thing that I have noticed, and it hasn't changed down through the years, you get Christians together, and what do they talk about? Current events. Sometimes current events need to be discussed. Sometimes they get into the shady area of gossip. But how many of them get together and look forward to getting together and communing together in the Word of God? You want to make me happy? Let's suggest that we get together and sit down. And yes, there can be a meal involved. But let's have a Bible study. That will bring joy to faithful brethren. What usually happens when you get the church together today is a few minutes spent in and on the Word, and then you have to get to the fun stuff. You have to get to the entertainment factor. You have to get to whatever. To me, it's fun, enjoyable, and wonderful to spend time in the Word of God. That should be what brings all Christians joy. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You know what? There was breaking of bread there. There was doctrine. There was teaching. There was fellowship. There was the oneness that they enjoyed together, and they were happy. Did they not have concerns? Yes, they did. Some of them had to travel away. Some of them lived under harsh situations and circumstances, but they continued steadfastly. They drew themselves together for fellowship, to be happy, to enjoy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17, we find another passage. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. They were separated for a while. What did they want? They wanted fellowship. Why did they want the fellowship? Because faithful brethren in fellowship brings great joy. And that joy should exist among brethren. Another thing that faithful brethren are a joy in is when they make sacrifices. Go to verse 30 for this one. Epaphroditus fully gave himself for the work. Notice what it said, for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. He committed himself fully and wholly to the work of Christ. He neglected his own physical needs. He perhaps could have been running around with a cold and then realizing, you know what, I've got some work to do. Somebody over here wants to know something about the truth. Somebody else over here needs to hear the gospel. And he continued on, and in so doing, perhaps made himself even sicker. And who knows, he may have had pneumonia. I don't know. But he sacrificed. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, all Christians are to give themselves in sacrifice to the work of the Lord and for the benefit of the souls of others. And that, my friends, should bring you joy. And if there are other faithful brethren, they also will be overjoyed by this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It tells us what part of that is. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? When you fellowship together and you study the Bible and you seek and you learn and you grow and you're all happy together because you're faithful brethren. And in so doing, you also prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, while so doing, we're to make sacrifice to continue in the faith, to honor God, to honor His plan. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And people have read that and they say, oh, look at this. The Holy Spirit is inside me. The Holy Spirit is inside you through the Word. If you put the Word in you, you have the Spirit in you. And then you use your bodies for good. You use your bodies for God. You use your bodies to bring joy and happiness to other faithful brethren. Because you're bought with a price. You're not your own. You actually belong to God. And you should willingly make those sacrifices. Bring joy to others. And finally, if we would bring joy to others, if we would be faithful brethren, and we would be a joy, we will stand in the gap. Verse 30. Epaphroditus was nigh unto death because he was standing in the gap according to the Spirit through the pen of Paul. To do what? To supply your lack of service toward me. You know, so many today fail to stand in the gap and defend the faith. Jude verse 3 tells us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. We are to stand against that which is wrong. We are to stand up for that which is right. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, we see this phrase here. And as the prophet was directed to write to Israel, he was admonishing them because they would not stand up for what God wanted them to do. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land, or for the land, that I should destroy it not. But I found none. Oh, the wonderful blessings that God had bestowed upon Israel. Oh, the wonderful blessings that God has bestowed upon us. What the wonderful opportunities that are ours. And we can't bring joy and happiness to people because we won't stand in the gap. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 has the right attitude that all Christians should have. Every Christian should have this. When a need becomes apparent, it is as if God is speaking to you. Notice, I want to say this again. I don't want anybody to draw the conclusion that I'm saying, oh, the Lord's going to speak to you and tell you what to do. I hear so many people today say, I'm waiting for the Lord to direct me. Get out the map. What do I mean? Get the Word of God. He's already drawn the map. He's already stated the conditions. He's already stated the facts. And the attitude that all Christians should have if they would be bringing joy to faithful brethren, if they will be faithful brethren and bring joy to others, is, here am I, send me. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You know, we could have sung that song today, volunteer, Christian volunteer. There's only so many songs that you can sing. People perhaps are looking at their watch right now. They say, we all have so many songs. He has to preach so long. He has to use so many scriptures. Come on. Let's be happy together in fellowship. Let's be faithful brethren. Got just another quick point. And then the invitation. And the sermon will be yours. The church needs people to do today what no one else is willing to do. We need faithful brethren who are a joy. And faithful brethren are joy when they sincerely care, when they seek Jesus Christ, when they do not seek self, when they have excellent character and dedicate themselves to the work of the Lord, desiring friendship and making sacrifices to do God's will. If they will do these things, they will have no problem standing in the gap because they'll be there. They'll be faithful brethren. They will say, here am I, send me. Send me to do what? Well, whatever needs to be done. Well, what is it that needs to be done? It's very simple. What was the Great Commission? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Well, what are we supposed to preach to them? How about the invitation? If we deliver the invitation to everyone, every opportunity that we have, and help them to see what it is that God has said to do so that they too could become brethren, then they might work toward becoming faithful brethren. And in becoming faithful brethren, then they can bring joy to others. What is that invitation? It's very simple. One is to hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as John 3:16, many people can quote, will tell you that he is the Son of God. We must believe in him. And in so, we should not perish, but have everlasting life. However, one must also repent. You can't just believe. You've got to also repent. Acts 2:38, these people had come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They crucified the Son of God. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Do you not think they believed? If there was nothing else to do, Peter would have said, you're good. But what did he say? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. If they did that, and when they did that, they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promise of eternal life. Confessing before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is part of that obedience. In Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And as was pointed out in our Bible class today, we either confess or deny daily. You know, faithful brethren that bring joy to other brethren, they're confessing the Lord on a daily basis. And one must be baptized. Acts 10:48, we read, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, by the authority of the Lord. Of course, they wanted that fellowship. They prayed for him to tarry certain days. But having done all these things, in order to remain faithful, we have to remain faithful unto death. In 2 Timothy 4:6-8, the Apostle Paul was directed to write to his young protege, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Sadly, many won't apply this in their lives. They won't obey the gospel. Some do. Sadly, some, after having obeyed the gospel, become an erring Christian. They allow themselves to slip and fall. They're still children of God. They're erring Christians, erring children of God, and they need to come back. It's our responsibility to help them. 2 Timothy 2:25-26, in meekness instructing them that oppose themselves. Why? Because God might give them another chance. He will give them another chance if they recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. How do they recover themselves? Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to become one of our brethren. You can only do that by being baptized into Christ, as is laid out in the invitation. But if you're here and you're a child of God and you've not remained faithful, then you're not a faithful brother or sister, and you need to return in repentance and prayer. Do what you need to do to bring joy to others, to be pleasing to God. It's never too late until it is. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the selected hymn. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come?